You're listening to Fakeologist's Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio. Calm.
Oh, stream a bot. When you're joking, I swear if I was going to say that.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly, my friend.
And now, this is another hour.
We have 14 minutes to wait yet. It's 3 minutes past when it comes in. So, if anyone can keep track. Yeah, 3 minutes past. Don't know why.
After a minute, another minute passed. Quickly followed by another minute.
Yes.
See how well I've been programmed?
Hey, haven't we all? I think the programming's not the hard bit to take on board. I think the actual programmers should be applauded.
Amazing. So what's the go, young fella?
Not a lot, my friend. How about you? Obviously, a million and one things to talk about. Nothing's boiled to the top at the moment.
Oh, well, okay. So what's to talk about? Tell me.
Oh, question I'd like to ask you. I'm not sure if I've asked it before because usually I get on pretty late. Do you think that any of the perpetrators behind 911, i.e. the video people or the people who come up with the victims, have ever phoned in and talked to Aberato?
I know. I haven't been, you know, I keep getting kicked out of this thing, so I know,
but it does make for fun, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I know what I mean is, they may have phoned in. I don't listen all the time because I keep getting booted out.
What was the main reason you got booted out?
Because of
DJI.
Simon Schacht didn't like the fact that I was I think Dallas Goldberg, Ed Chiarini, well aware is the right thing.
Okay.
That was the last time, and then previous to that, it was about the same thing, but not Simon Schacht. And then previous to that, is a dispute with Kay Hamad.
What was the dispute about? Was there anything that you can publish Dallas, online?
Yeah, it was all publicly done on the Fakeologist forum.
Ah, so the same narrative. So it's really just a difference of opinions. It's not decrying anything that you've said, really, just differing from it. Maybe, you see, the thing with everything that we've been shown on TV, it can be manipulated. So I don't rule out anything now, Frank. I'll be dead honest with you.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's humorous that people that say they support free speech don't support free speech. My comment has always been, you know, particularly with Simon Schacht, he obviously does not share the view that I may disagree with what you say, but I'll defend to my death your right to say it.
So it's
obviously not his view.
Well, do you know, I'm not even going to fall into that line of questioning. And the reason being is because obviously people get annoyed at different levels. So I'm sure Simon's been in this for a lot longer than even I could. His father, he's probably put in a lot more work than anyone, than more people think. So it's not even a case of not commenting there. It's a case of everybody has different views there. But I am with you on the fact that where some people, and when I say some people, I mean the people who are meant to be open-minded, do disregard the odd question now and again. And I am aware of that. And then they seem to close up shop.
I don't care if they disregard the question, but, and I don't really care if I get thrown out of the thing. It's no odds to me. I don't give a, as they say, I don't give a proverbial, but.
Oh, no, I think you're on the same boat as me. You're not really in it to make friends, are you?
I don't. It's all just people on the internet to me. Not that I don't love you dearly, of course, Denny, but,
Frank, I can tell in your voice, man. I can tell in your
That's
voice.
Right.
You think I'm joking? I'm not joking at all, my friend. I really mean that.
The whole moon river.
Oh, the lot. There was a program on a couple of days ago, and it was Peter O'Toole. And it was just a quick flashing back on his life and different things. And there was a bit in it where they were talking where he was going to play T.S. Lewis, wasn't it? Is that who it was?
Is it Lawrence Lewis or T.S. Eliot?
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yeah. That was T.S. Eliot, I think.
T.S. Eliot, sorry about that. I've been reading Alice in Wonderland and Lewis Carroll and things like that, so I think the Lewis thing is on my brain. But there was a bit where they said about acting, and he was talking to Olivier, and someone was describing Olivier to him, and he said he stands like a middleweight boxer, looking in your eyes there, and I think that's the way you need to be.
Middleweight boxer?
No, you have to pretty much be aware of what people are saying to you. I mean, obviously, there's different intelligences out there, but be aware of what people are saying to you, and do not be afraid to speak your own mind like you do. I mean, even if someone agrees with you, I don't think that's a reason for banning someone. Nevertheless, I'm not saying you wasn't bringing the website into ill repute, because I've no idea what you were saying. So, you know, you could have been saying some remarkable things. But nevertheless, I do agree with what you're saying there. I really do. You know, that is the crazy thing. People have their own tolerances. And I do think that, a lot of tolerances can be, you keep them up for some reason. You know, you keep up the same thing.
So in my case, the reason I actually, and I've said this 100 times on this show, the reason I even came into contact with this particular show is simply because Kay Hamad did an assassination piece on me when I appeared on Chris Kendall's show one night.
Ah, well, I've listened to most of Chris's, and I do pay attention to him, so I've obviously listened to you. Probably one of the first places I heard you. So, well, it must have been, because don't listen to the other one that you go on, you frequent. So, was this, did it have any bullet points? What was there any real evidence behind it?
Between what Kay Hamad said?
Yeah.
She was just being a jerk.
And that's what brought you back to here?
That's what brought me on to here in the first place. She wrote...
Well, that's cool. That's cool, because either way, I've had the enjoyment of listening to you for a number of hours.
And then I just kept hammering her till she apologized, which she eventually did.
Wonderful.
Yeah. That was it. There's no particular reason. And then I think I've been banned 4 times. I think from here.
4 times.
And the last time was because Simon Shack demanded that I get.
The last time was for stealing. Come on, let's get it right. You were stealing.
I was stealing, that's right. Stealing Simon Check's ideas that rockets can't work in space even when they can.
Well, I'm willing to watch a rocket go up into space, but I remember looking at the... Do you remember the ones that come out of submarines and supposedly go into space? Yeah. So that changes it has three different engines to... To leave the water and then go through the air and then change it into another engine for fucking flying in space. Nah.
And they don't topple over or anything really. It's bullshit, isn't it?
Maybe it's just a big spirit level.
Maybe.
One big spirit level.
Or a demon spirit.
Oh, I will never even cross out spirits either. No, I won't, because I know people believe in magic, and I also know that magic is possible. And I mean it in the most basic aspects as well, whether it be hypnotism or just power of the mind, or even, you know, just what's suggestion. I'd like to ask you a question on ayahuasca. I was looking into it earlier.
I 100% know nothing about it.
No, well, basically, the reason I had to quit look into it is because one of the chemicals which is in it, which supposedly causes the, you know, trip when it's mixed with another one that your stomach wouldn't digest otherwise. So you've got two ingredients there from the same jungle. But one of the ingredients can be man-made. Now, I'm not really into ceremony or any kind of suggestion. When I think if you ever do decide to take hallucinogenics or anything like that, you should do it on your own or with friends or, you know, with something like that. Not organized hallucinations. And this ayahuasca thing, to me, it seems like all they've done is always fine-tune the hippie movement.
Fine-tune the hippie movement?
Yes.
Said? So yes. my view of all these.
It did need fine tuning. Don't get me wrong, but you know.
My view of all of these drugs is that they open your mind to, or open your body to possession.
Yeah. Right. So, well, no, but now that brings me on to another question and thought there. So that brings us to, is it external, the possession, or is it internal? Is it something you create yourself?
Okay. So because I think the biblical model has some validity, I think it's possible. I think it's actual possession, yeah.
Well, that explains why memories are kept outside the body, then. You know, why the brain doesn't seem to store memories.
Of past lives, you mean?
I'm unsure about past lives.
You think memories are stored outside the body, do you?
Yes, yes.
So memories of how you think of, you know, your childhood and so on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything to do with that, and also your vision. I think them things are stored outside the body.
Is that right? So tell me about that.
You have that interesting phenomena of people that get transplants and stuff, where they'll pick up memories from their transplantee. That's all documented.
Yeah, lots of stuff like that. My father was brain damaged when I was about four. And he apparently was totally 100% brain damaged. So by the time I was about 10 or 11, I was reading notes around the house. I was reading, you know, different things. He was in hospital for around about 4 years, and he said he'd never do anything again. And in 4 years' time, my mum got him to go in for a pint at the pub. And, you know, he wasn't capable of working or anything like that. But nevertheless, he was, you know, gone from breaking every bone in his upper torso and having 100% brain damage to having a pint with his, and walking his daughters down the aisle. So I know that you're able to mend, and I'm not talking about creating different neural pathways there, because the influence was too fast. I'm talking about the external influence, but that does create. It's hard to explain. The brain will use other pathways.
Yeah, well, the model I've heard is that memories are stored all through your body, you know, all through
Jerry,
your...
Jerry, mute for a sec, mate, because you're making crazy noise.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying to move things. One sec.
Sorry, mate.
So my understanding, the model that I heard, which I think is great, is that your memories are stored all through your body and not in one particular location, and they reinforce each other. But, you know, you...
Could maybe they be stored in like some sort of like you were talking like I know your angle is on electromagnetism. You can actually differentiate between different ones. Could it be something to do with that? You know, different fields that hold different memories. Hence why people have auras.
Yeah, maybe, but I don't think it's. I think it's actually a
physical thing.
I think a memory. I think is like analogous to a computer memory.
So would that mean it leaves a pathway, and then you might actually come across that pathway again?
Yeah, it's a physical. I think it's a physical change to your body, and that's why. Oh, here we go. My favorite thing.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist audio chat on Fakeologist.com.
I tell you what, he's prompt.
Prompt, that's right. So what I'm saying is it's further proof that your environment shapes what you become.
Oh God, yes.
Not genes.
No, not at all. I think going down the physical route is a good way to get a grasp on things, but I don't think you need to go to a macroscopic level where you can't see anything, or anything where you're actually working on a hunch.
Well, so in short, what I think is happening is that memories are created by doing making some change, and you end up with like a series of holographic.
I'm a big believer in the Michael Talbot, his holographic universe. That makes perfect sense to me. It really does.
I guess I don't think that there is a holographic universe. I think it's real.
No, well, I think it doesn't go that far up and there's layers, but when I say the holographic universe there, what I'm saying is we are definitely different wavelengths. We're all one wavelength. We're all one type of matter. So we must interact on a basic level.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. A lot of the times, Frank, it's hard to get things into words, but I do think we're all made of the same things, whether it be the light, the stars, the sky, the ground. And we all interact on an instant basis. I really do think
I think that's correct. Yep.
Okay.
So that idea that that essentially we are kind of a frequency set up in different shapes.
Well, that's why I think a lot of memories are outside the box, because people see things in certain places. People say they see ghosts. Now, I've never seen a ghost, but I do know people say they see angels and they see people that die.
Right. I do think
they're creating them in the head from a memory they've already had. But okay. I do think they visualize them outside the body.
Okay.
Because they interact with the actual environment that the person's in.
Look, that's a really, I've never heard that idea before. It's a great idea. Great thought.
Yeah, just virtual reality, pretty much, but, you know, something in your brain. Have you ever listened to Tim Peake? Not Tim Peake, or Anthony Peake. And he talks about the daemon spirit, and he also talks about frontal lobe epilepsy and how it can slow down time.
No.
Anthony Peake, I know you'll jot the name down anyway, but he sort of ties in a couple of bits with the writings of Philip K. Dick and, you know, different things like that.
Yep.
And it's I'm not going to say it's eye opening. It just gives you another angle to look at things. But I think the brain is obviously is revered throughout history. So I think it is pretty much the way we're going. And like a lot of people say now, we're being told that stuff that is meant to be, you know, bad for the body is actually good for the brain. So I'm not into this veganism at all. I can really say that.
Yeah. So, I think remembering that I'm starting to put a biblical filter on everything now. So, I tend to find that.
What's that? Is that like an eye patch with a cross in it?
Is that like what?
You say that a biblical visual field on everything.
So, I guess the metaphor is it's a bit like an oil filter, or another way of saying is I use it as the decoding key.
Everybody's got one.
Yes, everyone's got a decoding key, and mine at the moment is the Bible, which I'm finding to be, you know, consistent at least. I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I certainly find it consistent. And the thing that strikes me about people like Philip K. Dick is that he's promoting a view which is, if you like, that we can create our own, you know, that we're our own gods kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think that view is not correct.
No, I'm
people down the wrong path.
Frank, I'm right behind you. Look, the weirdest thing I can say to you is, look, I can't prove God exists to anyone, but I know he exists. You know what I mean? I will not fall into a religious book because I've already... Literally, I know there's a God or there's a creator, right? Now, whatever he's saying to you, he's not saying to me, or whatever he's saying it to someone else, and he's saying this for a reason, and I do believe that as well. I don't believe I'm not saying it's not right to look into a Bible or a Quran or a Granth or, you know, the Talmud, the Talmud, don't look in the Talmud, Jesus. But you know, whatever
it may
be.
Look into that.
Yeah, but that is maybe as a warning manual.
Exactly.
Yeah. But no, what I'm saying there is, it doesn't matter what he says to you, it's what it matters what he says to me, if you know what I mean.
Just quickly point out that even in scripture, it constantly says that the Lord God is hiding his face from even his own believers. So imagine what he's doing to everyone else.
Well, he puts belting songs on the radio for me, Jerry. And you know, if I'm good, he puts a good song on, man. He's not hiding his face. Well, you know, but yeah, he's showing his record collection anyway.
I was just mentioning that even in scripture, it points out that his chosen, he hides
his face. I was kidding. I would never argue against a book that, what is it, about 2.5 inches thick?
Well, as I had a brick.
Depends which translation you get. Some of them are pretty beefy.
I used to go Boys Brigade.
I had breakfast with Silverbeam yesterday.
And, I was chatting to him earlier.
We talked on that very thing where I said, if I heard a voice in my head now, I would not believe it was the creator. It could be anything. You know, it could be the CIA or whatever, you know.
Yeah, but the voice in your head, it doesn't have to be Charlton Heston, you know. It could be yourself.
But that's what I'm trying to get at, is if I start hearing voices in my head, I'm not going to think it's the creator.
It's the same voice you've heard since you were two.
You either
hear it or you don't. But this is it. Is that religious? Am I religious? No, not really.
To me, being religious is to make an observance without thinking, you know, a reflex observance. That's what religiosity is. Religiosity implies unthinking obedience.
Yes.
To me.
Expedience.
Right. If you do something religiously, you do it on the basis that you have a view that you must do it.
So, what are the things that you'd love to teach? If you could teach people two facts about religion overnight, with belief and their abstracting the truth and things, what would be the two things you'd give them?
Well, I think the concept of models, which I talk about in my blog, is the first thing I talk about, is that everybody has a model.
Okay.
And really you want to think about what your models are all the time, where they come from. So I guess they're the two things. First of all, you do have models, whether you realize it or not. And secondly, that you want to review those models regularly and see if they're helping you or hindering you.
So, for argument's sake, my model of the Earth, or not of the Earth, of the way things should be, would be that by now, vegetables should be free. Now, I could quite easily work out that over a weekend with a couple of advisors, and vegetables, they grow for free. They don't cost anything to grow.
Well, that's the truth, though, isn't it? Even now that vegetables grow.
They're free in my back garden at the minute.
But they are free anyway. Everything is given freely by the creator.
But all I'm doing there is saying that something that's free has been priced.
Well, that's going to continue on. They're now going to price carbon dioxide. Everything is going to be priced. Air is going to be priced. Having a child is going to be priced.
Literally making it so you're going to have to tighten your belt.
Everything is. Someone is taking charge of things that have been given freely by the creator, and they're charging you for rain, charging you for, you know, that's how the world's going.
I'm waiting for the sunlight tax.
Yeah.
The which?
Sunlight tax.
Yeah, there'll be a sunlight tax, absolutely.
Of course. Well, no doubt about it. But people fall into this. People agree. How on earth have we got to this level of control?
Well, it's happened because, in my view, the biblical model, when people turn away from the creator, he says, okay, you're on your own. Go on, Nakash. Nakash, the devil, is the prince of the world. And it's only the only people that are protected from the prince's, if you like, his rules, are people that accept that the Lamb of God has been sacrificed on their behalf and they've been made free, set free. I think it's as simple as that.
What does the Lamb represent?
Well, okay, so the first thing that happened was that Adam disobeyed the Creator and partook of the fruit of the tree of knowledge. And when they did that, the thing, they disobeyed the Creator and they obeyed Nakash, they obeyed Satan. So suddenly Satan was now the ruler, and what the sacrifice of the Lamb of God did was reverse that contract, return Adam back to the stewardship of the planet. But you have to accept that sacrifice has occurred, and then you're back in charge.
So you accept that there was someone called Adam who was created by God.
Well, Adam's just, as far as I know, Adam just means first man.
Right. No, I'm just going to listen to every word you say, mate. And you don't need physical proof of that.
Again, all we're looking for is a model that works, that explains our current situation, aren't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so the alternative is I just go blindly on and pretend that the Bible's a fable. Right? Or so say, okay, the Bible's a total fable.
Well, I've never read the Bible, then, so I can't even say if it's a fable.
So I'll just go on and assume that the Bible's a fable and completely ignore it and try and work it all out for myself. So by the time I've even got, you know, a 15th of the things worked out, I'm dead.
What about the people that lived before the Bible?
I mean, what people lived before the Bible?
Well, apparently it's pretty hard to prove how old the book is.
It's not a book. It's a library. It's a collection of books. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah. It's just, it's a...
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just going...
All my point is this, okay? I've been stumbling along trying to work out what's been going on for all our lives, right?
And you found a cipher that works for you.
I have, yeah, if you like, exactly, a code breaker.
Yeah. No, I believe that.
How about that for a word,
Code breaker. What on Scrabble?
Dave, what do you think about that as a word, as a description of the Bible?
Well, I mean, you do have that whole idea of it being a kind of sort of coded language, don't you? I mean, Hebrew itself is, especially Paleo-Hebrew, is very interesting the way that it's written.
Well, Paleo-Hebrew is definitely a coded language. No, I don't mean that, but I'm also thinking...
I know what you're... It's what Peter would have said, where we look through a glass darkly. I mean, we basically have a sort of foggy view of reality. We're just looking through slightly. I mean, a good way to describe it would be like we found the glasses in They Live.
I think that's a good way. That's probably a better analogy then. So that's how I view the Bible, Denny.
Frank, I'm never going to argue with anyone who gets any kind of inspiration or knowledge from anything they've read. Never going to argue it at all.
And then here's some data that I find to confirm it, right? Eventually, cool. I came to the view that there couldn't be an atmosphere right next to a perfect vacuum of space. Now, I have come to that conclusion more or less independently. So what does that mean? It means there's a physical barrier above our atmosphere and something. What's the only source of data of authoritarian type stuff that describes the fact that there's a barrier over our atmosphere? The only one I know I'm aware of is the Bible.
Van Allen belt?
There's no Van Allen belt.
No, I don't think there is, but I'm just saying that is classed as authority.
That's not a barrier, though. That's an electromagnetic thing that's supposed to be protecting us from death rays.
Yeah.
Well, maybe they put a name behind what they encountered. So, you know, it actually means that there is a barrier, like you say, but they put another reason behind it, electromagnetic. Everything's electromagnetic at the end of the day.
Everything is electromagnetic, yeah.
So, you know, they're not lying, are they?
No. Well, okay. So what I'm talking about, though, is a physical barrier and not a magnetic barrier.
Right, well, how about this? This is my theory. I think it gets mega cold. Further you go up, it gets mega cold. No light, no air.
Yeah, no atmosphere. That's right.
Nothing to go by. And if there's no atmosphere, air or light, then literally nothing can exist. So that is a barrier in itself.
Yes, but there... For there to be an atmosphere and have atmospheric pressure.
That's if there is a vacuum beyond what we're told. How about if it just diminishes?
It again, diminishes to what?
Just to absolute, well, probably below absolute zero, below absolute dark, below absolute everything. I think that's what happens around the so-called this edge, what people talk about. I think the electromagnetism and... The way we see the what do you want to call them? The aurora borealis. shows that there's some kind of emanation coming from north. I'm just going to meet you, Jerry, because I'm getting an echo off you there, mate. Can you mute yourself for a sec?
Well, am I echoing, am I?
I'm not getting any echo.
I've got headphones on, so I shouldn't be.
No, I'm mine's down as well.
Okay, yeah, I'm not getting an echo at all.
Just mute a sec. Let's see what happens. Yeah, it's gone. Yeah, no. What I'm thinking is lack of oxygen light is pretty much encompassing from wherever the land moves across to wherever it hits the sky to wherever it comes back.
Okay, so at this stage, I would, if I'm going to speculate, I would say I'm going to accept the biblical story, which is that
just one second.
Water.
I came back out and back in. Is it gone now?
2-1-2. Yeah, it's cool, that mate.
You sound fine to me. So, in the absence of any other information, Denny, I'm going to say, well, the Bible says it's water that separates, the ferment separates the waters above from the waters below, and that there's a ferment. I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, but that makes sense, because we all know air is pretty much liquid. No? Yeah, I'm cool.
And you have the idea of the old experiments with the ethers as well, where they basically show there's a medium through it. I mean, it literally flows through everything.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's why I think memories are stored in ether as well. That's why I think there's a lot of things that can be explained if we're living in like an electromagnetic suit that can take on memories and, discharge them at, certain points. I don't think it explains like Rupert Sheldrake's like morphic resonance. I think there's lots of different people getting into these things, but yeah, nevertheless, I don't think there's a massive void beyond whatever it is, 115 mile. I don't think what we're being shown all over the planet is real. And I think after science we're being told, and I'm going to incorporate a lot of the Bible in that and a lot of these religious books as well, I think they're controlled. So I'm still taking the good that other people like you and a lot of like Jerry can, man, take from the Bible. But I'm only taking your word for it because I've never looked into it. So, I'm a blind man.
There's massive parts of the Bible that are very badly translated and corrupted, almost on purpose.
Absolutely. I think it's
especially
very clear,
in English.
I think it's very clear that the Bible,
I think the essentials
has,
have been left in there for salvation, and a lot of the other stuff is very much controlled and augmented to... agendas.
It's been deception by omission, hasn't it?
Yes, mostly, yeah.
The bits that have been left out that would provide understanding of the motivations of the Creator have been left out, which is very annoying. For example, what's the name of the guy that runs Geronism? Is his name Jerry or Jeron or something? Is it Jeron?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
But that guy is constantly... saying that the Creator is Yahweh is an evil bastard because he keeps wiping everybody out, right?
Uh-huh.
And what he completely ignores is the reason for the flood was that the angels
misses the whole Genesis 6 thing, yeah.
It completely avoids the Genesis 6 thing and gives a completely misleading view the Bible is about. And that's...
Even the sort of stuff after that where you have the Israelites going around wiping out whole tribes.
Giants and demons.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And that's what the Philistines, etc. were. So the whole thing, Gog and Magog and all that sort of stuff, all of that stuff just disturbs me about people like Jeron, is that he doesn't give a fair account of what's actually in the Bible. So that's where people like you and in
with the
in
material
my case,
he's come across, I can't see how he's not come across that kind of information either.
Nor me. So are you still there, Denny?
Of course I am, mate.
All right, so in my case, those that view that the Creator was just a totally awful guy, what was he doing wiping out all those people, why did he make the flood? Why was he such a bastard? None of that was made clear to me in my childhood. And I grew up a Lutheran. So those guys definitely should have been telling me that stuff.
And yes.
It just wasn't mentioned. So all the important stuff about our current predicament, according to the Bible, It's just not part of the Sunday school ethic. And I think even Zell said, or someone, maybe Zell, if it's not you, I apologize, but he said the Bible really should be R-rated.
Right, well, yeah. I'll give you my little impression.
Go read the book of Judges. That's fucking R-rated.
Right, give you my little impression. This is
Deborah
me.
Or whatever, where she seduces some guy, feeds him milk and honey till he falls asleep, and then drives a tent peg through his head.
Yeah.
That's R-rated.
Right, well, with me, what it is the thing that gets me, and it's only, like I said, I'm new to this, so sorry, I'm just going to cough one. Yeah, the thing that gets me is I think that by creating church or a place where people go, you're saying you're all one children under God. I think that was the first step on getting men and women equal and literally changing all the shit that's been going on today. And yeah. I do see it as the first step. Now, I'm not saying.
Well, I agree. I think the churches have been used,
yeah,
really to just completely sodomize the whole. Well, yeah,
if you look at Acts and what church used to be, it's basically what we're doing now. Is a load of people sitting around talking about the scriptures. That's all it was. There was no leader giving out their particular viewpoint. It was a lot of people discussing their opinions on scripture.
So why are we still following a book then?
We're not. Who is actually reading the book? It'd be, as far as I'm working out, it's
I think
me.
Referring back to it, actually concretely. No, I'm not being argumentative here. I'm trying to get.
My point is that no one is actually reading the book. David obviously reads the Bible. I read the Bible. Dave Eager reads the Bible. I reckon we could almost get a name count on the fingers of one hand, the number of people that actually read the Bible.
It does seem that a lot of people, like, once they've learned the Bible, pull out willy-nilly scriptures. And I have listened to some people talk about it on a number of occasions, even this New Year's Eve. Instead of doing anything, I ended up in and I actually listened to some people discussing the Bible. I know it sounds a bit weird, but nevertheless, I did. And it does seem like a lot of it doesn't make sense. Like what you say, you know, a lot of it's been ripped apart. But some of it is literal NLP.
So what is the bit to you that doesn't make sense?
The way people jump on things when they say, well, this clearly means this, you know, and they try and translate the Bible.
Okay, but people are going to jump on whatever they want to do.
That's what I'm saying there. It's not a case of someone just standing there with a book and reading it out.
I guess the question I have is people say to me often, and I used to say it myself, the Bible doesn't make any sense because of blah. And then I ask them, what bit of the Bible doesn't make sense? And I never get any answer because they never – give me a bit of the Bible that makes no sense.
I've no idea, mate. I don't read it.
and presumably you have the same experience, Dave, do you?
Me?
No, I'm saying the people that explain it, they'll read something from it and they'll say this clearly means this when it doesn't.
Yeah, well – the scriptures interpret the scriptures. There's running themes throughout all the different books.
That's a get-out clause. You can't say, oh, this means this to me.
What I'm saying, Danny, is a lot of people, like, I agree with you, a lot of people will take a verse out of context and interpret it in their own whatever they want to say.
And some of them are idiots.
Invariably, if you go back to the old church fathers and stuff, they'll reference back old scriptures where they're not taking an interpretation outside of it. They're literally saying, look, this references something that's already been written. They're not making an opinion on it.
Okay, then.
So most people do currently make opinions on stuff without actually referencing back.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. All right, well, what's the difference, right, between me saying, right, 911 was this, it clearly means this, blah, blah, blah. There was no space Judy Wood weapons done. It was all done under a smokescreen. No one died, blah, blah, blah. And someone like David Weiss, for argument's sake, going, yes, it was all done under the smokescreen, blah, 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 but it was done by a Judy Wood weapon. That's his interpretation of the thing. That's clearly wrong. So why can't I say, well, whoever's going to interpret the Bible is clearly wrong. So what I can do there is then I can say, right, well, if you're interpreting the Bible, you can't just say, this is the way I think about it. You need to use semantics and pedantics, and you need to be any kind of ick going just to work it out and get it on there. But no one ever does. Everyone says, this is what I believe.
Let me just take a slightly different view, right? The point here is that 9/11 was a seminal event, right?
Okay.
So in 9/11, there was a seminal event, and none, you're not arguing, you and David Weiss are arguing about something at the edges, right? You're not saying that 9/11 was unimportant. You are saying you and David Weiss disagree about the interpretation of
I'm not even saying that at all. I'm saying there's an idiot who's invented something there. But all he's doing is he's interpreting that day's events the same way as
nonetheless, the Bible. Nonetheless, you're not denying that 9/11 took place in some form.
Well, the date definitely happened.
Okay, so all I'm trying to get at here is that while you and David Weiss may be, arguing about the semantics of it, it's quite different to saying that wasn't a significant event in history. Whether it was fake or not, it was still a significant event. The problem here that we're having here is people are saying that the Bible is just a total fairy tale of the highest proportions.
No, I'd never say that, man.
You may not be saying, but people are saying it, right? They're completely ignoring the possibility that there is some data in the Bible which may be valuable. That's the whole point I'm trying to make.
I mean, it's the main reason why we have so many denominations in Christianity. They're mostly arguing over the minutiae. The overall story they generally agree about, but they're basically involved with just like the 9/11 debate.
What is the difference between a lot of the differences? What is a lot of the difference?
Like I just said, it's the minutiae, various doctrines which are different in the different sects. They mostly hold the essentials, but they argue over the minutiae, the small things that don't really make much difference.
But even then, Dave, if you go and talk to the people within any one of those, if you like, they're called sects, right? If you talk to those people, they also are a broad church, and people in Orthodox Church will hold many Catholic views and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you went to Clues Forum and everyone believes in media fakery, but everyone's got different ideas.
Yeah, because no one believes in Dallas Goldbug apart from me, and I don't even believe in anything. And so the point here is that I keep coming to about all this stuff, Denny, is that the Bible is a reference, a framework that I think provides some valuable data. That's the difference. I don't really care. I don't even consider myself to be a Christian. I think most people, I don't think Dave, for example, would call me a Christian at all.
Depends on your definition.
That means you're scared of lions.
But to me, a Christian is a person who believes that the Lamb of God was sacrificed on their behalf and saved them, right? And that,
yeah, like I said, it comes back down to the essentials, doesn't it?
Yeah. Whereas I'm a person who says, well, I think that model is correct, and so I accept it. And then what that means is, and this is where I'd say I was quite different from a Christian, is that my view is that returns me to the state of grace that I had before Adam ate the apple. Which means, yes, there is good and bad in the world. Yes, I can do good and bad, but I'm not judged for doing good or bad.
Well, I've got a question I've always wanted to ask someone who was pretty much like me. This definitely wasn't an instantaneous change, and I'm not even saying there was a change. This is something that you've known in your head all your life. Am I right?
No.
Yeah, I think I've been aware. Jerry Khan said no.
So
I prayed when I was younger.
Excuse me?
Well, I kind of was, but I always prayed to God when I was young. And if I got in a difficult situation, I would pray to the Creator. And
well, I suppose I had a hankering for knowing, but...
And I've never had the view that when my body dies, I vanish.
No,
I've never had that view. Have you ever had that view?
Nope.
Not specifically, no.
You see, what I don't understand is how you can have someone who's born again and all of a sudden sees a lot.
Well, you know, you've seen, Denny, you've seen the film They Live, yeah?
Yeah, man.
What happened before he put the glasses on? He had a different worldview.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really what being born again means.
No, he was going along with the story. He was going along with the story he's been told. And he said, do you really believe that? And he went, you know, I think if you work hard, days pay. A man deserves a good day's wage. He never answers the question. He never actually answers the
Well, I suppose, yeah, that's good. I mean, yeah, I mean, I take the Calvinist view where this is all predetermined anyway, so people like...
See, that's another thing, Calvinist, you just say that willy-nilly, and I don't even know what Calvinists mean.
It's the same as me, Denny. All of those labels I just find them...
It basically means predestined. I don't believe in fate. I think everything's predestined.
Right. Well, that's okay, because in Trailer Park Boys, that's what Ricky's dad believes in, Calvinism, so there you go.
Anyway, the point is, you can say that the guy from, you know,
Bailiff,
yeah, was predestined to put on the glasses. That would be the Calvinist view of that film.
I think that's what the film was based on. That was a seriously turn of events, and it probably was based on something like Calvinism or Buddhism or whatever you want to call it. But definitely,
Calvinism is it goes back to Calvin and, I forget the opposing view.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a series of steps.
Nonetheless, they live is entirely biblical, right? Entirely biblical. But the creatures in they live are basically the fallen.
Okay.
And their offspring.
From our viewpoint of our little rosy tinted glasses.
I don't think it's any coincidence in that film that the people were mainly middle class. I'll give you that. And they were involved in media.
No.
I was just trying to think of a cultural example of what we were trying to talk about.
Well, there's a few there. Baywatch. Baywatch all of a sudden give lifeguards. People, literally, lifeguards started becoming people like, they started having programs made about them. So, you know, same with SWAT. SWAT wasn't invented, and they put it on telly, and all of a sudden everyone gets a SWAT team. Same with They Live. The conspiracy theorist world wasn't alive up until 88 probably. Mm. Before that, it was crop circles with piss heads. Now,
yeah. So your view is that the way we think now was
imitates life. I don't think anything we see on the screen is made up.
Oh, okay. So you don't think life is imitating art in this case?
No, I think most of the things we see on the screen, whether it's Star Wars, where people fly over a flat, icy planet to destroy the globe, which is actually the globe they're flying across, I don't think anything that we see on the screen is put there by accident. I suppose that's Calvinism within a TV sense, but I think the program is always there first.
Mythological idea of the muses, type of spirit being which basically infuses artistic ideas onto people without them knowing.
Yes.
That was the whole idea of the muses.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a big Red Dwarf fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I suppose they mentioned it. In there,
and you sound like that guy, too, by the way.
Which one? Oh, Dave Lister. Oh, ow!
No, not the cat. It must be Dave.
But yeah, Dave.
Yeah, it does too, yeah.
He's got like a little dreadlock. He's drinking his lager and eating his curries.
That's it.
You know what? You're not far wrong, lads. You're not far wrong.
Well, he's a Manchester guy, isn't he?
Well, no, he's part Scouse, but we'll let him off.
Okay. Well, he's got that kind of accent, I guess.
Yeah, no, well, that is literally it. If you're born on one side of Manchester, you sound like a Scouser. If you're born on the other side, you sound like a Burnley. Yeah. You sound like you're from Burnley. Yeah. So, anyway, let's just get back to films then, because, right, in They Live, you've got the rich aristocrats running the place. Obviously, let's just say the glasses are a metaphor, obviously, like everybody else says, and we see advertising and the use of currency as for what it is. Now, we've already mentioned free vegetables. Now, that sort of led to the conspiracy world, hitch you onto David Icke and all this stuff, where people give a bit of truth and then snide away and give you a load of other bollocks. So the main question is, if the Earth, right, was flat, I'm asking you this now, right, how would all these people who were the conspiracy theorists, gatekeepers, whatever you want to call them, how would they react? Because we're seeing reaction from a few different people now who were supposed, Santos Spinacci, he was one. A lot of these people are on Red House Radio and these other conspiracy theorists placed there first. So what would be the next step? Because we are at this point now where there seems to be an impasse.
Yeah, I'm not sure where it's all going. As I said, I think the best approach is the one I've been taking, of just saying to people, your everyday life, in every way you live, you assume that water lies in a horizontal plane if it's undisturbed. You know, when we try and work out if a mountain is higher or where water is going to drain to, or everything we do, we assume flatness, don't we?
Certainly do.
And so, to me, when people say the earth is curved, I say, well, prove it. And they say, well, you prove it's flat. I don't have to prove it's flat. We all assume it's flat. We live as if it's flat. And that assumption works completely, perfectly well for every aspect of our lives.
And it's virtually impossible, and it is impossible thus far, to prove there is a curve.
It's impossible to prove there's a curve. It's equally impossible to prove it's flat, by the way.
Yes, yes, no, I'm agreement there.
And all we could do is, but that is our base assumption, nonetheless. And I had a discussion in here in text with John Le Bon the other night, where he accused me of being a something or other, an ad hominem attack and a this and a that. All I said to him was, John, you live your life as if the world is flat.
John also lives his life like his logic is also infallible, where he doesn't actually take the presuppos. Well, you have to, yeah, what was called presuppositional logic, where you have to go back to why do you even assume that your rationality to create your logical system is rational? Now, most people that don't believe in God, they have no reason to assume what they're describing as logic is rational.
That's right. You should go through that argument in writing one day, Dave. I think people would find that.
No, it's a hard argument to make. I've posted on my blog there's a podcast to listen to. You probably know the guy, Chris McCombs. He was on Dave Eager's show sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
But he does a whole series on presuppositional logic, where this has been a long running thing in philosophical circles going all the way back to, you know, hundreds of years ago. You basically need to rely on a creator which knows everything to even allow the fact of having rational thought and logic. So yeah. There's no point having a system of logic where you're basing your logic on just your reason alone, because there's no way you can prove that your rationality or reason is reasonable outside of yourself. Yeah. You need to go to an external source to basically say, look, a creator made me rational. John Le Bon never wants to go there, because obviously you'd have to ask some other questions.
Yeah. Anyway, that's in summary, if I were to summarize what we've just talked about for the last hour or whatever it is, I would say that I do think of the Bible as being the sunglasses from that film They Live. And I find it very helpful.
Yeah, and, a pretty good analogy.
And I guess I could say, since I've started doing that, my personal life has just been terrific. You know, just out of all proportion.
Do you have to identify that if there is a God, and this is just in my judgment, that there is a darker being?
Chris, Frank, have you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs?
No.
Give it a read. No. Oh, yeah, it's interesting.
Have you got an electronic copy?
Oh, you can probably find it online. I've got a hard copy on my bookshelf, okay. But find the link. It's all about church fathers and stuff. I was just going to make the point: not everybody that put on those rosy tinted glasses had a particularly good life.
Yeah. Okay. So
I
actually think a lot of that is. I reckon. Many of those stories are BS, by the way.
That's fine. I was just asking if you'd read it, that was all.
No, but I've just looked it up on Wiki and I can see it here now. I guess I have the view, Dave, that anything not in the Bible...
Well, you have the same thing in the Book of Apostles. You have most of the apostles not coming to the most pleasant of ends, shall we say.
But Daniel, for example, was saved, wasn't he?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not all across the board, is it?
So... I'm always a little bit suspicious of the New Testament anyway. Okay. Anyway, I'm just going to put it out there that I think...
give me a read if you haven't read it, that was all.
Yeah, no, and I'll have a look. I'm just going to say this point now, and if I change my mind after reading the Book of Martyrs, I'll come back. I don't think...
Don't be changing your mind. Can't change your mind.
Well, I do like to think that if I find... If data contradicts my model, that I'll abandon the model. I like to think that I work that way.
Do you know, I'm a twat for that as well. Yeah, I'm a twat for that.
Is it proving the null, where you basically, you're meant to be disproving your theory?
That's it.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
But it,
Frank, I've got one for you.
Happen that way.
Frank, are you a CEO of a company?
Of my own company, yeah.
Yeah, because you've got CEO in the middle of your name as well, which is nice.
Have I?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, at the end of ounce.
Oh, yeah. Right, an ounce of salt a day.
Yeah.
Hey, no, don't you know my? I thought I told you what my company was.
No, you know you have to make sure. I wasn't overstepping the mark or anything like that. I didn't want to know if you were to
I'll put it in the. Oh, I don't mind. I mean, I've got no problems. I'll put it here anyway. I'll put it in the live stream chat.
Right, well, yeah. Answer this question then. As soon as you identify there is a God, then do you identify that there is a dark being?
Okay, so my view is that what happened in the Bible is fairly clear that. That when the Creator made Adam and asked the heavenly host to serve him. Serve Adam.
Oh, sorry. What happened? I thought you said serve.
Just because I don't speak proper, that is, didn't you?
No, you're all right. It was Jerry vaping.
Sorry.
So the situation then was that the second in command, the mightiest of the heavenly host, who I call Nakash, in the Bible is called Nakash, was pretty unhappy about being made to serve Adam. And he rebelled. He said, I'm not going to do it. And that's when everything went wrong.
That sounds like a man-made narrative to me. But nevertheless, I can understand it. If it's been transferred that way.
Michael Hyde and stuff with Psalm 82 where... talks about the divine council. There was more than one dark being.
Well, he led his whole, basically, he, according to the bits I've read, his whole troop, and he had, you know, a third of the angels under his command, followed him. A third of the heavenly host was under the command of Nakash. And so that's the war in heaven, if you like.
And what language is Nakash? What religion?
Hebrew.
Hebrew.
Paleo Hebrew, yeah.
So, what's the difference between Paleo Hebrew and Hebrew?
Well,
they changed some of the vowel markers and stuff.
But we don't really know.
Yeah,
because some of the Hebrew gods and letters transfer into different gods from other languages, don't they?
They do.
And the whole thing was lost. But all of these stories, as far as I can tell, are all just part of the same story.
That falls into the reason the Hebrew is written downwards and the languages to the west are written from right to left and the Occidental languages are written from left to right. So it's almost like that is the birthplace of language. So that makes me think, then why should we be trusting? It all goes
back to the birthplace of Babylon, which is where all the languages spewed forth from. Because before that point, everyone was speaking the same language, hence the name Babel. They were babbling of various languages after that point.
Yeah, I've read that many times.
They all went walking away with the same stories in different languages, talking about the same people, but under different names.
Wasn't it Babel rather than Babylon? Sorry.
It's silver. Yeah, right, mate.
Wasn't it the Tower of Babel rather than Babylon?
Yeah, Babel, not Babylon, yeah.
Frank, I've got a quick question for you before we go any further. Remember, you talked about water. You know, you're an engineer. You understand water. You know, it's how it gathers momentum and moves across the flat plane. Seeing as the pyramids are made out of cement from probably the Nile, the bottom of the Nile River, and if we can identify where the lowest angle is, where it'd be perfect for dripping the so-called liquid, from the Nile down to the pyramids, you can work out the flatness of the plane there.
Well, the Nile River is really a remarkable river. I don't know how long it is. I think it's something like, I'll look it up, it's 8,000 kilometres, 6,000 kilometres. For several thousand kilometres, the fall is less than 1 foot. So the Nile River flows, on practically no gradient.
So it's being pushed.
But the Nile River is just remarkable in every sense. The Nile River.
I've seen the strength of it, and at some points it's miraculous.
Right, gentlemen, I'm going to have to
bow out. Bed. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm actually going to go download some podcasts to listen to tomorrow, and then I'm going to go to bed. But I'm still going to have to go.
Take care, Jenny.
Well, thanks for chatting.
I've got a book I just posted up, and I'm going to download it all and listen to it tomorrow. So but I need to actually load it up onto my MP3 player. Yeah, it was nice chatting, guys.
Okay, take care. And I better go and do some work, Denny, but yeah.
Ace, lovely talking to you.
And to you. And hello, hello, Silverbeam.
Hello.
And au revoir.
Yeah, au revoir.
What go on, Silver? What you saying, man?
Who's that left here?
That's me, mate.
Oh, it's you, Napoleon.
Den. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. Just having a ciggy and a coffee.
Coffee, what time are we on?
What time is it?
Mm-hmm.
7:55.
Ah, you're up early. What do you do for a living? Well, hang on, no, we're on live here, mate. I've just realised, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. No, I don't do anything at the moment. I just finished work recently, so I'm having a break.
Wicked, wicked. So what, yeah. What have you learned? What would you like to get out to the fakeologist public? Something that you've discovered, something you've come across, even something right, that you just well, you corroborate.
Here's some stuff I've been looking at. Because I take an interest in this idea of synchronicities. I think John Le Bon's talked about it, and it's interesting. But so I was looking at this event that occurred in the year 1054, which was the Chinese astronomers sighting of the explosion, or whatever you want to call it, of the Crab Nebula, right?
Ooh.
It was first seen in 1054 by these Chinese astronomers. And that coincides with the split between the Western and Eastern Church, which was the Great Schism of 1054, which was probably one of the biggest historical events ever to happen.
Have we got I don't mean to be a stickler. Would this stand up to JLB's inspection? Basically, that's what we're asking.
I've got more to say.
We've sort of set a benchmark here.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I've got a bit more to say. So I became aware of a star called Eta Carinae in around maybe 2007 or so. And I learned that it was the brightest object in our galaxy. This is the claim. Eta Carinae, it's actually meant to be a double star. It's something like 7 million times the mass of our sun or something like that. Anyway, it had a flare-up in 1837, and it became one of the second brightest thing in the sky, right? So I'm thinking maybe this is connected to some event in the way that the 1054 nebula was. And when I looked up what happened that year, I learned that it was the first year that a communication was sent by electrical telegraphy. Now, it also flared up but it had another big flare up where it became very bright. And that was the first patent of a punch card data processing system.
Are you sort of thinking there's levels in consciousness being hit?
No, what I'm saying is maybe major historical events do have their corresponding astronomical occurrences, and I was just trying to see what this major one of Eta Carinae, because it's the biggest one in our recent history, the biggest sort of flare up or cosmic happening. So I was just seeing what it coincided with, and it happens to coincide with what I see as the penetration into the etheric world of, information or deception or any kind of communication. But it was the first time for electrical telegraphy and for data processing, it was the first steps that humanity took into this world of, digital reality.
Yes, that makes perfect sense, man. That really does. So there was not a case of an increase. It was something that was reported on a long time earlier that was being able to be witnessed again. Whether or not they're as far or near away, doesn't matter. Definitely. I think these things spark an interest that makes us look into something. Definitely. Just like the computer age helped with the mapping of blood, DNA, whatever kind of thing you want to go into. So yeah.
Yeah.
But also the people who were looking into these things, they had a vested interest as well, you know, just to spot different anomalies and different things that would pop in and out. So I think a keen eye, you could pick up on a lot of things. Whether or not they're relevant, I don't think that makes any difference. But if it sort of aids, scientific progress and stuff like that, and then, I think most things that I've recorded are significant in some way. I really do.
It's like I made a comment on John's site about this idea of astrology and the idea that the stars influence the Earth, because that's an old idea. And apparently the Aztecs or the Incas, I can't remember which ones, they actually conducted hundreds of years of warfare because the stars indicated war. So they would go to war with each other. And when the stars indicated peace, they would stop fighting. And
do you not think it's coincidental, though, that the Aztecs who built pyramids start with an A? And then the next letter of the alphabet.
Sorry, can you say that again? I didn't quite catch that.
Yo, sorry, my mate. I always forget what I fucking speed up, don't I? Do you not think it's a coincidence that the Aztecs start with the letter A, which is a capstone pyramid?
Yeah,
a lot of these pyramids, you can't pay attention to the stuff that's around there. Why would a pre-industrial age group of people, whether they're in Egypt or in South America, build a fucking pyramid? And the people in Egypt used 3D imagery to build a pyramid, and yet they used fucking profiles to draw on walls, and they didn't draw on walls in the pyramids. There's letters from Napoleon when he talks about the pyramids being finished. He's like, I can't wait till they're finished. I mean, they're in French, you might have to translate, but they're there.
Okay. Can you get a hold of those? Because my dad's French, so he can translate.
It took me fucking ages to get hold of them, and then when I found them, I'm not computer literate, man. Someone will find them.
Oh, somewhere. You don't know where they are. Yeah, that's
all right. No, they're in literally two letters, and they're on scrolls. You know, you have to go over it.
Yeah.
And it's laughable. It really is. The things we're being told, you know, and I know, that what we're being told is probably 50% truth and 50% lies, right? But
might even be like 20-80.
Oh, God. In our favour?
Well, no.
I'm just going to mute there, my mate, because laughing.
All right.
Back in 2 minutes, pal.
So just looking up Napoleon and the pyramids and Napoleon in Egypt. Trying to find something conspiracy. There we go. Sorry, just trying to talk so it's not just silence. Sometimes you got to go to the next page of results, don't you? The other day I was looking up smoking conspiracy, the conspiracy to convince us that smoking's bad for you. And I had to get to page 4 of Google results before I found any actual conspiracy theory. So that might be a clue. The King's Chamber. Paul, would you go and spend some time in the King's Chamber of the Great
Get to it?
Yeah, you can get in there. You're online.
Well, the ancient Egyptians wouldn't like that.
No, the curse of the Pharaoh, mate. Do you know that I've got a friend who went there on an expedition with his Aleister Crowley friends, and they went in the Great Pyramid, yeah.
Yeah. Howard Carter, how he got the...
Sorry.
Curse on him. Some say he got the curse because he found that chamber.
The curse of the pharaohs.
Yeah, Tutankhamun.
Hey, my mate, you still there?
Yeah, still here.
Do me a favour. Can you see the moon from where you are?
I'll just have a look. Won't be a minute.
Okie dokie, because I can see it round my window where I'm looking. Two thirds full. You're listening.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
We'll do one of them live one day and scare everyone to death.
Too cloudy.
Can you see it, though? Is the moon out?
I can't tell.
Not a problem, my mate. Not a problem.
Yeah. Well, you're in England, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm in Manchester, man. It's fucking crazy.
Is it?
Yeah. It's mental. This is where everything gets fucking mixed up for all these little, these fucking, what do you call them, these Psyops, Hoxies, Psyops, whatever they may be. They start off literally between where me and Tom is. And London is oblivious until it hits the middle of it, and it's just like all hands on deck. It's laughable now. It really is. It's getting to the point where, well, I mean, newspapers in this country haven't made a profit in 20 years, and they've just started making a profit again.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, same here. Our newspapers aren't making much money. They don't get the advertising. Yeah. That's one thing I think is that it might help us to get our information.
Well, I've always said if you was to get a newspaper that had like the same effect as the two-tone paint job on a car. So if you look at it from one angle, it says one thing. And then you look at it from another angle, it gets another thing. And then you wouldn't need to have back page and front page for sport. You just have a different angle.
Yeah.
That's the way it's coming. Everything is going to be duality. There's going to be a change. There's always going to be some kind of... Just think about things now. If something's offensive nowadays on telly, they make it funny. If something's meant to be serious or informative, they make it funny. So they make it palatable. A spoonful of sugar. Everything is going to have it. And we're going to get that. We're going to get that. We get that off people. This is why it's good to just be horrible to people that you're talking to.
Another reason I think they do that is that they present every news story, and then they'll make a joke or they'll make some comment after it, so that every single story is reduced to the same level of importance.
Yep, it tranquilizes.
You know, which is basically, don't worry about it, mate. We'll take care of it. You know, the government will look after you. You know, we'll bomb these bad people, or you know, something like that.
Definitely. I'm just going to say good afternoon to Tom there, who's just popped into chat. Hello, Tom. How are you?
G'day, Tom.
But yeah, just saying that, obviously, I can see the moon outside. I was hoping you could see it. No.
Well, what's it doing?
It's pretty much two-thirds full. It's on my left-hand side is the dark side, so, and I'm facing south-west, south-east.
Okay.
So it's probably above Chad, like it usually is. Every time. Yeah. Every time it's above Chad. Yeah, man. Stupid. People don't realise.
Every time it's what, sorry?
It's above North Africa. It's above Central Africa.
Oh, Chad.
Yeah, so whenever I look out my window and I can see it, it's always above the same place. So, I tell you what, do time and date. Just make sure. Because I've got a balcony, so I might have been looking out another window.
You want me to check time and date?
Yeah, just see where the moon is.
In my part of the world,
but it'll put it over the Peterson. I think it's the Peters map. Anyway, it'll put it over. Central Africa.
Okay, all right. I'm on time and date. I might even just Google moon position.
Well, if you do time and date, and all you're looking for is their daytime, nighttime line. You can click on that.
Okay.
And then it'll show you where the moon is, and that'll correspond to. Well, basically, you get a big yin and yang note on the screen. Hello, Dale Quack. See you there, sir. Nevertheless, the moon is really bright in the sky, and it looks lovely.
Bonjour, je suis Unreal, et vous écoutez Radio Fakeologist avec Abirato et ses invités.